Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon and welcome to Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit, sponsored by Mind and Body Strengthening. I'm your host, Scott Marsh. We are broadcasting live on Phoenix Business Radio X, located in the Max 6 studio here in Tempe, Arizona. One of the purposes of our show is to highlight success stories from professionals who are extremely busy and have limited time to adhere to a nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle program. We aim to help those busy professionals break through the barriers of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit. Another purpose is to provide educational information that is research-based and peer-reviewed. And lastly, leadership. Leadership in the sense of individuals or companies that promote, encourage, and lead by example of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit to their employees, customers, friends, and families. So now I'd like to welcome our guests. So first, we have Luke Sullivan. He's the owner of Pinnacle Fitness in Scottsdale, Arizona, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, correct?
Correct.
Through the NSCA. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your bio? And
yeah. So I basically got into it as I was a track and field athlete. So I was a discus, shot put, and hammer thrower. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. We had one stoplight. So luckily enough, I got a scholarship to go to UCLA as a discus thrower. And because of that...
No shot?
I threw shot put, but... not being, you know, a 280-pound guy,
okay,
kind of limited me in that respect. But I really focused on discus and hammer. I was a four-time All-American at UCLA, and I did the Olympic trials two times, and then I ended up getting hurt before the last one. So that's kind of what led me down the fitness path.
Okay.
It was an easy transition from athletics to that fitness world.
Okay.
And then I actually moved out to Arizona to work with the Arizona State throwing coach, and that's kind of when the whole, you know, Pinnacle Fitness came around, and that's when I opened up the gym.
Okay, great. And then, you know, and then secondly, we have Brett Funk here. He's a personal trainer at the DC Ranch Village Club in Scottsdale. So, Brett, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. I feel so honored. Want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I graduated from University of Wisconsin Whitewater in physical education and health, and then when I started my career, it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I was a rehab director for a chain of chiropractic clinics. Also, I did personal training there as well, along with coaching football and track. And then finally, due to the inclement weather, I moved down here to Phoenix, Arizona, and that's where I got my start 10 years ago at the Village Club. From there, it's been bliss. I've been training a lot of different athletes, seniors, some people I've been doing rehabilitation with. A lot of what I've been doing lately, because I used to box, was training boxing to a lot of, you know, angry housewives. And and so it's worked out really good, although I got to ice my shoulders after a lot of the pounding I take from them. But
yeah,
that's kind of what I've been doing ever since I've come to Phoenix, Arizona.
So when you're in college, you had your degree. Did you have a kind of a mindset of like the path that you wanted to take when you graduated, or was it just the first job that came available?
Yeah. Initially,
how did that come about?
Initially, I was a physical education teacher. And when I graduated from college, I was thinking I was going to be a physical education teacher along with coaching football, because football was my love.
Okay.
After about 3 years, I started graduating into more training. And then after time, I got busy doing training. And I really started gravitating towards that when I moved down to Milwaukee. That's when I really took off and tried to spread my wings a little bit, doing half rehab, half personal training. Then that's where my passion started going. Yeah.
So, Luke, how did you, so when you graduated, what was your major in college?
Geography.
Geography. Okay. Yep. So, can you kind of like take us on this path a little bit?
Yeah,
how you got to where we're at now?
Absolutely nothing that I'm doing right now. So, when I went to UCLA, I wanted to do physical therapy, and the only thing they had at UCLA was pre-med. So after about probably 2.5 years of the prereqs and stuff like that, the amount of athletes in those classes diminished considerably.
Okay.
And at UCLA, it was a very good track program, so we were on the track probably 6 hours a day, so the studying time kind of diminished.
Okay.
So I got out of pre-med, and my options were much more limited. It was either that geography, sociology, or psych.
Okay.
So I went with geography, but then when I moved back to Wisconsin, I actually got in the schools, kind of like Brett, and I ended up doing a special ed assistant for 6 years.
Okay.
While I was competing. So I would travel to meets and stuff like that all over the U.S., nationals and, you know, Olympic trials and stuff like that.
So you were training back in Wisconsin?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was a special ed assistant at the schools, and I would also work with athletes on the side. I would coach a lot, coaching the weight room as well as on the track. And then I got my CSCS in, I think, 2004 or five. That was one that, you know, at first I thought I would work with athletes, but the more and more that I realized the general population needed more of that help, and all the injuries that I incurred in college, I had a lot of back injuries, hip injuries, all that kind of stuff. And I realized that that was where my passion was going to be, was working with people with injuries and more on movement education and corrective exercise as opposed to, you know, trying to get really strong and stuff like that.
Yeah. So there's more of the, so Brett, with you up at the Village Club there, so are you doing more of your time with the boxing, or are you doing more training? Because I know you had your classes. So how has that been?
I would say I'm doing about 30 to 40% boxing, and the rest is personal training.
Yeah.
So it's a wide variety of people. When I get back there today, I'll be dealing with kids, a lot of speed agility training. And surprisingly, there's a lot of high school kids, even females, that really want to box. In fact, most of them do. And it's just a good workout for them. So I'm probably about 30% boxing, you know, 60%.
So do you think the attraction is just strictly the boxing, or is it the way you're structuring your classes? Because I remember you kind of, the way they were structured, it seemed, you know, people got a little bit more of a, you know, more of a dynamic workout than just strictly just, you know, hitting the gloves and.
Yeah, I think what attracts everybody is all of a sudden you see, you know, this frail little girl come up there, and all of a sudden they hear her just whacking the pads.
Yeah, just snapping it.
And it's like, and it's just like anything. I mean, anybody can learn it. But the beautiful thing about boxing, I think a lot of people realize that, is when you're working on focus pads or on a heavy bag, is it's a multi-joint exercise. I mean, there's a lot of training going on there in terms of cardiovascular benefits, core strength. I mean, it's not, people sometimes think it's all arms and shoulders when it's could be further from the truth. It's all legs and core. And since that burns an awful lot of calories, using your legs and core, people gravitate towards that. And then when they start hearing these mitts being hit, well, that seems like fun.
Yeah, right.
Who wouldn't want to hit something?
So do you have classes, do you have introductory classes, and then kind of like where they would work on the technique and then you progress them along,
way I run it right now is I have like classes where they're just classes and people can come in at their own pace.
Okay.
And we have a lot of, you know, we'll have people that have been with me for quite a while, and then we'll have people that come in their first time. And I can work with them because the people that have been with me for a while can go on the heavy bag and they can just tear it up. And since I'm one-on-one with people and with the focus pads, I can go ahead and instruct accordingly. You know, if I have one that's been with me a while, I can just go crazy with the focus pads. If I have somebody that's brand new, then I can just break it down while somebody's running laps or working on a heavy bag, I can break it down for them. And either way, they all get the same type of workout. They just have different ability levels.
Yeah. And you're doing that class solely by yourself, right? You don't have anybody assisting you?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. I mean, 5 years ago, I used to have somebody assist me.
Right. I remember that.
Nowadays, I'm just doing the class by myself.
And how many people do you have in a class?
It varies. It can be anywhere from 3 to 12.
Okay.
So it's kind of an open class. But ironically, now a lot of people are taking off from the class and doing 2 or 3-on-1 training with me.
Nice.
In fact, I just left a class right now.
So that's good.
Three people. Yeah.
So then they can start really refining.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that have been there for a while now, I mean, are they looking to maybe, you know, do they want to
fight professionally? No.
No. Fight you maybe. but I know, I mean, you know, is it ever going to come into the possibility of where, you know, they can put the, you know, put the headgear on and that you can, you know, have them kind of engage each other a little bit, or is that not going
to
happen there?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it to a lot of them.
Well, not that they're going to have headshots, but just, you know.
there's a couple guys that would like to do that. And then there comes a little liability issue there. And so I'm not sure.
I know there's boxing gyms out that, you know, that have that offer that kind of stuff. Cause I have a girl that I train that, you know, she goes to place and, you know, they put it on, you know, that they kind of keep it under wraps.
Yeah. There's a couple kids that I have trained. We never got, because I can't get outside the gym, there's a couple of kids I would have liked to have brought to a boxing gym to spar. But I've never crossed that yet.
Okay.
Just haven't had the time really to take them to a gym.
All right. We'll maybe make more
someday.
Time. Let's go.
Yeah.
So Luke, so it looks like you've redone your gym, kind of changed it up. I see you got a new logo.
We do. Yeah.
So you got some rebranding, some marketing going on.
We do.
And how's that change come about? So what, because I know you've been working on some things for a while, and did it just finally come to your head, and it's just time to pull the trigger and get those things done?
Yeah, it's definitely been, this last year has been a big year for me personally and professionally. I got married last September.
Yep, congrats.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
about a month before the wedding, I was putting in floors and painting the gym and putting new logos up and all that kind of stuff. I think we really just focused on, we wanted to bring a different brand and a different type of feel to the gym. And within the last year, everyone has, like, without a doubt said that the feel within the gym has been much more community-based. The feeling inside the gym has been one of, like, community and camaraderie and pushing each other and stuff like that. So that's been one of the biggest ones. We've also switched over from solely doing one-on-ones. We also do small groups. Mm-hmm. So small group personal training. So it's group of threes and fours.
And that builds into the more community-based feel that people are feeling
because they're
getting to meet each other.
Yeah, you know, and we've definitely, we've broadened our spectrum. We've actually added a cooking class. We do that once or twice.
Yeah, so hold that thought. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
So that seems pretty intriguing.
Basically, the staff that we've put together has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Such a good staff in terms of knowledge base and the personality and the customer service level has been out of this world.
Okay.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
So with the rebranding, how did that come about?
You know, part of it was, I think it was just kind of had an old logo. It had kind of an older feel. So by redoing the gym, it kind of brought new life into the gym. And one of my new trainers, he actually was a chef at the Four Seasons. So he brought a lot of new ideas to it. And he's just a fun, you know, he's about 30, 31-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So he's just he's got customer service out of this world. And he's just a fun kid. And, you know, we went back and forth. We won all these different logos. Some were good and some were just terrible, you know. But, you know, we definitely rebranded. You know, we're all about moving more, moving better.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really, really what we focused on.
Yeah. So so it's community-based. You said you have a family feel. So are you getting multi-generational people, families coming in to work out?
Yeah,
are they coming together, or is it just, you know, the kids are coming in later with the kids and the parents are separate, or are you getting them to come together?
It's kind of been all across the board.
Okay.
You know, we have sometimes the parents will come in, they'll bring their daughter in to an afternoon one-on-one, and they'll just jump in as an add-on.
Yeah.
We've also had it where, you know, we've had just four kids all at the same time. Super common to have the parents come in the morning and the kids come in the afternoon.
Okay.
So it's blown up more than I could have ever imagined it, which is a great thing. We're actually looking at expanding next year to a 4,000 square foot facility.
Awesome.
So it's been really good. It has. Yeah. So I think it's fun.
What are you in now? 2,000? So you're going to double?
1,700. Yeah.
Okay. So that's great.
Yeah, it has been. It's been looking at it from a business perspective, it's been much more of like creating systems and stuff like that as opposed to just having trainers run around kind of doing their own thing.
So working really on the business instead of in the business, right?
Yeah, my wife tells me that a lot.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
I know you've been working hard on that for a while.
Yes, I have. And now what I've really realized is we had a son in June on Father's Day. And because
little
of that,
Patrick.
Yeah, little Patrick.
Yep.
Little P-Dub, Patrick William. So he forces me to be home at a certain time. So I have to be as efficient as I can be during that set time.
So be productive.
Be productive.
Yeah, so that's good. So Brett, so you, at one point, did you have your own facility, correct? Back in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yep.
So how did that go?
So that one, I like the way it went. It was called Functional Training, since my last name is Funk and I spelled it in a dysfunctional way, like my name.
And you.
And myself. Yeah. So it worked out really good because as I was telling Luke earlier, I was kind of in the basement of a chiropractic office and physical therapy office. And so we were kind of attached. And so I would do personal training out of that office, but I would also do chiropractic rehab and I would do some physical therapy as an aid, just the exercise portion of physical therapy. So I wore a lot of different hats at that time.
Okay.
And which was fine with me. The equipment at the time was pretty old, but I didn't use it much. I used a lot of ground-based and free weight and therapy ball, you know, just a lot of functional training principles and not so much the equipment. So from that aspect, I think it was behind the times from an equipment standpoint, but sometimes that's a good thing because then I can just, if I just have a room and I have some free weights, then I can make it a lot more, you know, functional with the people that I'm working with. So aesthetically, it wasn't as pleasing to the individual, maybe from the outside, but once we got it going,
they saw the value of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have that right before you moved to Arizona?
I did. Yeah. In fact, what I did when I moved out here then is...
Well, hang on. So why did you move out here?
The weather.
The weather.
The weather was
it strictly
the main
thing. The weather?
The weather. And I was looking for a little bit of a change too.
Okay.
I mean, I already had that business going and it seemed at the time it was stabilizing. I didn't see a lot of, I mean, from the rehab standpoint, from physical therapy and chiropractic rehab, it was kind of stabilizing from that front.
Okay.
And then...
And how long did you have that studio?
I had that for about, I want to say 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
But the, I mean, the main reason was the weather.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I wanted out.
Yeah.
Everything lined up, and then I moved down here. And initially, I was looking at different places for sports conditioning and things like that. I wound up at the Village, and after a while, I found out I was doing a lot of the stuff that I was looking outside the club to do.
Yeah.
And so I kept it all under one roof, and then things got busy, and life was good.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah.
So then, you both kind of have this, can this be directed for both of you, but, you know, so with your background of working with, you know, as with the physical therapist and the chiropractic. So how is that translating into helping with your training now with your clients?
Yeah. Well, what I do, I'll do a movement screen on people. Where it's translated is, a lot of times you'll look at people a little differently. Instead of looking at good form, which of course you're looking at, you're also looking at what's the inside of their body doing. If they're having pain, where are they having it? And how is that going to relate to how I'm going to train them? So over time, and learning through the chiropractic profession too, because 80% of the population has some sort of back pain for some reason or another.
Right.
And of course, it's up to us as trainers to figure out, okay, how can we train around this? Obviously, we try and refer out to the proper authorities that'll take care of that. But then I'll look at their form. I'll ask them, okay, well, what have you been doing? What kind of exercise have you been doing? And from what I've learned in my background, what should we be doing?
Yeah.
And so...
That kind of separates, with that kind of knowledge, that's kind of separating you from probably a lot of the other people in our profession, because a lot of people don't have that background.
Perhaps. Yeah.
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 They just, haven't, maybe pursued that. So with you too, and your personal experience, I mean, that's kind of translated into helping people. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Brett's, spot on. I think it's, that initial assessment is a big deal. And what we do, I guess, from that is, we look at their posture, and we actually, once we kind of go through that eval with the person, and we kind of talk to them about their goals and stuff like that, we actually sit down as trainers, kind of like a round table. And that way we get the best of both worlds from all the trainers, and we look at, what that person's posture was like, what their flexibility, how their movement was. And then we kind of break it down from there, and we get the best possible assessment of what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And I think, in a lot of ways, it's like you said, he asked questions. A lot of people don't ask questions, because it's not necessarily, we seem to ask, where do you feel this? Where do you feel this working? Because a lot of times people will feel it in the front of their leg when they're supposed to be feeling it.
Yeah, they don't really know.
Or they'll touch their top of their leg and be like, oh, my hamstring is feeling it. And you're just thinking, that's not your hamstring,
So,
it's just really kind of, helping people break through the initial intimidation of being in, within a gym. And finding out what is wrong with them, or finding what they can do, with certain injuries.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is just breaking down the body and kind of building it back up again.
Yeah. So they see the value of that.
Yep.
So, are you getting a lot of people that have not been in a setting like yours that are coming in? How are you attracting those people?
We've actually, obviously, like most small gyms, word of mouth is kind of the biggest thing. But we've done stuff on Facebook. We've done Google Ads. We've done charity events. We've also, right now, we're putting together some stuff for teacher appreciation, even though I know they technically don't have anything until April. We're putting some stuff together for them. We offer stuff within the center. We've had, through Cactus Shadows is one of the high schools that I actually coach at. So we've done things with them in terms of their staff. And we've also done stuff with some of the different sports teams to, for lifting a certain amount of pounds, we'll donate money towards a charity and
okay.
stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yep.
So with the membership at the Village up there, is there a lot of new members coming in? Is there a turnover? Does it seem like is it stabilizing up? How is your client base?
I think what I've seen at the Village, it just seems like a turnover. I really don't get into the membership area. I just see when people come in.
Yeah.
My turnover is, I just have a lot of steady clients right now, so they don't have a big turnover. I'll have a few that call in, and usually it's through... Like Luke said, now I'm in a club, so the marketing's already there. So that everything that I get mostly is word of mouth, or they see me in the gym.
Yeah,
they want to get started. Yeah. So not a ton of turnover. It's a lot of people that have stayed with me for quite a while,
okay.
And then most of the people that come and go. A lot of it is the boxing people.
They come.
Those are the people that when they see the people getting hitting the pads upstairs, and they want a piece of that too.
And then people usually stick with the program. Is that like?
Yeah, a lot of them do. Or you know, again, we got an area where a lot of people are leaving town and stuff, so the summer can slow down, and then that's when we can get in some newer people that haven't had a chance to.
Well, summers here are slow. We know that.
Yeah.
So now with your new marketing, and did you see that this summer? Or did you were able to kind of like, you know, push through the summer and maintain those numbers? Obviously people go on vacation, but.
Right. We actually, one of the things as a owner I did it's called a producer challenge. And that was basically, I joined this group through a couple mentors, and there was 104 businesses across the U.S.
Is that over now? Because I remember you were talking about that.
I have 2 more weeks left.
Okay. So how's it going?
It's going really well. So in terms of what we did last year to this year, we probably tripled. You know,
okay.
So that was really good. And a lot of it's just, it kind of holds your feet to the fire. Every single day I have to go into the spreadsheet and plug in my numbers. And if I, you know, how many people I sat down with, how many appointments I set, how many appointments I closed, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely, you don't want to be showing a bunch of zeros all the time.
No.
So it kind of,
cause everyone sees those numbers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So as a competitor, you definitely, it pushes you in that aspect. So, you know, the big, you know, preaching is, and the kind of what we preach to our clients is you want to win the day.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing as an owner in terms of, you know, getting out there and meeting people and, you know, cause you kind of want to be a pillar in the community, and you want to be able to go out there and have people know you as the person to go to for fitness in that area. So, that's something that over the last month, we've really pushed just the local community, within the schools and the businesses and the, just the general population around there.
Okay. That's good. So for the summer, Brett, how was your summer this summer?
The summer wasn't too bad. I usually over the summer I try to put together something for kids because now they're out of school and I can do some training with them. But this summer this is like the first summer where I didn't put together any outside programs, and it was busy enough where I didn't have to do that. So I still worked with kids. But in the past, what I've done is I've put together like speed and agility programs for a group of kids, different ages. I've also done boxing class for kids. At different ages, and those have worked over really good.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back. So you guys, so you know, we get a new client, he comes in, he or she, you know, we evaluate, you know, we're evaluating them physically, but then as you learn to talk to them, you got to learn how to deal with the person. And so, you know, and the psychology part of it, the mind part. So what do you look for, Brett? I mean, you know, not every client's gonna be the same, and how you handle them and how you approach that. So do you have some things that you can share with us that, some functional techniques there?
Absolutely. I should know plenty about that. I see it at Holiday Inn Express the other night. So,
yes.
usually I'll look at their body language, first of all, coming in. And when we get a background and say, okay, what is your background as far as working out? Right away, I can know, okay, do I tread softly or can we get down to it? And then based on that, and then when I give them, I always start off really light with some of the exercises that we're doing, really some ground-based exercises. And then I can kind of get a read as to how they can handle those certain type of exercises. If they think it's too difficult, then I know where to go with kid gloves. But it doesn't take long, about 5 or 10 minutes after evaluating. Usually after evaluation, you can tell. If this person is having trouble sitting in a chair, I'm not going to put them on a squat rack, and we're not going to load it up and go. So then we're going to just work on, you know, stuff where we can learn how to sit in a chair before we start doing other.
Well, you got to build your confidence that they're going to have in you and your credibility.
Exactly.
That you're not going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And then you're going to help them, you know, achieve their goals.
Sure.
So, an 18-year-old is going to be different than, you know, someone in their 70s.
Exactly. Yeah.
And,
So you kind of get an idea as they come in and when they talk about what their goals are. And once I get them going, then we can graduate. And that's how I bring it to the table too. I tell them, you know, it's possible you may feel sore. And if they're getting like a little anxious about, oh, geez, I'm not doing very good at this, I always tell them, you know, your first day is usually your worst day.
Yeah.
It's going to get the whole point in being here. If you were great at everything, you wouldn't be here. So we're going to get you started easy, and then you're going to get better every day. It's kind of almost been a 100%. I mean,
so it's worked as
everybody
a good formula.
Gets better. Yeah.
So what about you, Luke? So when you guys sit down and do your round table and you're looking at evaluating the new client, so how does that come into work with that, with the aspect of the psychology part or the, you know, dealing with them?
I think the biggest thing is when you sit down with them, like you have to be compassionate towards that person. Cause you know, whether they want weight loss or they're in pain or, you know, something like that, like something has stemmed from earlier in their life. So if you kind of find that root cause, like that's what's going to drive them through, you know, coming at 6 a.m. and getting the workout in before work and then having to rush home and shower and go, or come at night after they're tired. That's what I found over the years of, you know, because we don't have a facility that is a giant facility where we can say, hey, here's a pool and here's a, you know, a climbing wall and all these different things. So we want to make sure that whatever they're getting from us is going to be the best possible training experience ever. So that being said, when you sit down with them, you kind of ask them, you know, like if their goal is to lose 30 pounds and you're like, well, okay, well, why? And then you find out, you know, some of the reasoning and they're like, well, what would that change for you? So you start to figure out the psychology portion of it. Like, you know, like what does that losing 30 pounds really mean to you? As opposed to, you know, cause for me as a trainer, it's not going to mean, you know, like I don't like I'm not losing it. They are. And like, what does that change in their life? What does that change in their family life, their work life? You know, are they more mobile now? Are they, you know, are they no longer in pain? So once you kind of develop that, that instantly connects you to that client and that connects them to you. So then when you take them on the floor, they've already built that trust with you. So when you run them through some of their different exercises and their stuff like that, they know that you have their best interest in mind because you've already kind of broken that barrier down.
Okay.
So that's kind of on the psychology part of it. That's a really helpful.
Find out their why.
Yeah.
Why are they there?
Yep.
Yeah. So then now, as you know, we've talked about, you know, when they first come in. So at what point now are you going to reevaluate and, you know, see how progress is made? So I know we get constant feedback when we, you know, we're dealing with our clients on a daily basis or when you see them, but do you have, is there protocols in place for reevaluation as you go through with their program?
Yep. So like, you know, the easiest one is you want tangible things to actually measure. So, you know, you can do that in terms of certain exercises. Some of it might be movement exercises that they could, you know, if they did a lateral lunge and they couldn't, you know, drop their butt over their heel, you know, stuff like that. Like that's obviously going to be something that you can see, or if they started having to be up on a box and now they're on the floor.
Okay.
Stuff like that. A lot of times what we say is, you know, like we make a big deal out of when they've made changes or when they've like, hey, you know, remember 2 weeks ago you couldn't balance on one foot, you know, and now you can, because you want them to be able to feel like they're making progress, because that's how they're going to get, you know, to that goal.
Yeah.
Because they're not always, as trainers, you know, we look at it. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Your right shoulder's a little high and your hip's off. They don't know that. And they don't always care.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, I need 30 pounds to lose.
Right.
So, but as a trainer, we want to take that into effect so that it doesn't affect their program, you know, further down the line, or doesn't affect their back down the line. So that's one of the things that we look at. And obviously we do an FMS, you know, every, you know, 2 to 3 months.
Okay. So that's your reval.
Yep.
You do the same thing, Brett? Are you using FMS?
Yes, I use FMS. Not necessarily with everybody. It depends on their goals and everything. Yeah. I'll look at them. So I won't do maybe a full-fledged FMS on everybody, which is functional movement screen.
Thank you for putting that out there for us. So for people that don't know it.
Yeah.
So
you basically, and what it is, it's you've got seven different movements.
Okay. So if you'd like to continue to describe for audience, that would be great.
Certainly. Well, we'll give it a whirl here.
Okay, let's go.
So in the short, you check out a squat pattern, and really when you look at a squat pattern in just about everybody, a lot of them, even though people can squat, it's all done differently. So we'll look at a squat pattern, a lunge pattern, hamstring flexibility. So we look at a lot of different things to see real simple movements, but it's basically movements that virtually everybody does. But a lot of people have little issues within their muscular skeletal system where they got glitches where that isn't done as correctly. And as trainers, we always try to find those pieces out, and we try to make it better by either strengthening or stretching, or a combination of both, certain muscle groups.
Okay.
And that's the basis behind a functional movement screen, is to get rid of some of the problems that they have with basic movements. Because if they have problems with basic movements, then loading up weight on a person like that is not a good thing, because it's only going to exacerbate a condition.
But in saying that same thing though, some people are just going to be, you know, they don't really understand that, you know, not loading up and getting, you know, they just want to work out. They just want to be sore. They just want to feel it.
Sure.
So, you know, that's always a challenge to get those people to, you know, rein them in.
Exactly.
And get them to understand.
And I try to do
how
a little,
important that is.
I try to do a little of both with them, because I know they don't want to just sit there and fix a certain muscle group for an hour. So I try to, we do stuff that's not going to cause problems with that, but at the same time, they want to work out. So we try to incorporate a little bit of both in there, with the main concern, of course, is getting their squat pattern or lunge pattern, whatever I see in the movement screen, getting it corrected. So we do correction exercises. And then in the basis of that, we can do stuff that they, you know, really want to work out with.
Okay.
And we do it in such a way that maybe we can do both at the same time. We can do a workout and a correction strategy at the same exact time, and then they're happy. But I explain it to them this way. I'm like, okay, you want to do this. If you want to do a squat, we'll do a squat. But keep in mind that, and I show them in a mirror, if your pattern is off and we're going to put weight on that, it's just like a chair. Would you sit on a broken chair?
Yeah. And they can understand that visualization of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you ever had anybody just say, you know what, I don't want to do it. I just want to work out.
Yep.
Sure have. Yeah.
So in that case, you know, I still will look at what they're doing and say, okay, we'll work out. But I'll do stuff that's conducive to, you know,
without them knowing
their goals. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they'll say, oh, I can't do that. And then we'll do something else. We'll do something almost exactly similar. How about that? Well, yeah, that works. Well, then we'll do that.
Right.
you win.
Yeah. So you know, that comes with the, you know, going back to the part of, you know, dealing with their, with the mind part of it and just, you know, trying to get their mind right.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, then later on, you could probably come down the line and say, listen, this is what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I just tricked you. Yeah. I think there's definitely a certain amount of, like, you know, people have their preconceptions of what they can and can't do. So sometimes as trainers, you kind of trick them or guide them into going a certain way. And then you're like, it came full circle, and here I am at a decent looking squat.
Yeah. So you know, sometimes I think they should not put the number on the weights and make them all the same size, because then, you know, because sometimes people are just like, oh my God, I can't lift 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh geez, I've never done that before. Well, you know, now you can.
Yep.
So Luke, back to with your programming, are people coming in and are you having like a 6-week program, eight month program, or are people just kind of going through and just training as they're there, or have you set certain time frames for a program? Then they have their, you know, they restart up again and progress from there. Or
we've definitely done some sort of like challenges. So we've done some of that stuff where it's either 6 weeks or 4 weeks, or you know, like we're on a 21 day detox. Which is a lot of fun.
How's that going?
Let me tell you. You know, after the first week, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
First week was a little tough, you know, getting rid of the caffeine.
So do you have a good participation in that?
Yeah.
Number of people doing that?
Yeah. The New Year's one, we had about probably 22. And then for the, we did one in April, and that was a longer one, which was hard. 6 weeks is a long time.
Yeah.
And that one, we had about 35.
And they stuck to it.
They did. They did. You know, you always have some people that are kind of stray. But one of the things that are nice about the challenge we do is we don't base it strictly on weight loss or fat loss. Like, we also, because within a six weeks period, like, you want to try to create habits. So we actually put in there like lifestyle points and stuff like that.
Okay.
So people, if they would, you know, for the week, they would pick a habit, and we would choose maybe 6 or 8 or 10 different ones that you could choose. So one of them was like, you know, no screens after 9 p.m.
No what?
No screens. So okay. Like no Facebook, no iPad.
Oh, no screen. No, okay. Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was really hard because I have clients texting me and I have people that I need to get a hold of. And I'm like, well, I guess I can't.
If you're going to follow the rules, you have to follow the rules. Yeah.
Or just, you know, sleeping 7 hours. You know, Brett works a lot of hours. I'm not sure if you sleep 7 hours, do you?
He doesn't look like
no.
it.
No.
No, look at the bags under those eyes.
You know, and like.
And this is a good day.
Yeah. And that was
this
a big
is the most
change.
Rested I've seen him since I've known him.
That was a big change for me because there was no way I was ever getting even 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And now you got a new baby.
Yeah. And so the first 2 months of that was a joke. Yeah, that was rough. Thanks, Patrick. But, you know, now he's sleeping well, so we're much, much better.
That's good.
But yeah, it was, you know, those challenges worked really well for the business because it really, you know, people's, you know, it's funny because people like to see their name on the board and they like to see, so for whatever reason, they like stickers. So we would put stickers.
No matter the age, huh?
Doesn't matter. You know, 75-year-olds doing it. And so we would have stickers for lifestyle points and for if they follow the diet and if they got their exercise in for that week. And they would, you know, it was kind of a pain for the trainers to have to put all these stickers on there. But it was really good. And people were following it. And it was fun. We even did one where we had each person created their own emoji. And they were climbing up the pinnacle to see where they were at on the point total.
Nice.
And it was really funny to see everyone's viewpoint of themselves on their emoji. Like that was, that was really funny.
Can you share a couple with us that stick out?
It was, you know, we had some guys that were like in their 50s and their emoji was a like Saturday Night Fever, you know, guy pointing his finger.
Nice. There,
like on a white leisure suit, you know.
Do you still have that suit, Brad?
Yeah, you might have.
I still have this. A little out of style right now, but I wore it the other night.
I think it's going to come back. And we just had people that were, you know, they were trying to be healthy, so they had themselves like in a tossed salad, you know, was part of their emoji, or coming out of the ground, you know, with like I'm in, you know, they were excited for the challenge. So it was funny. It was a way for people to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then people would walk in the gym and be like, who's the redhead on that? Like, who's that? You know, and then they figure it out, you know, and then
so that makes a lot of fun in the gym. And
it did. Yeah. A lot of chatter.
Built more of your community.
Yeah. A lot of chatter in the gym, you know, and that was what was really fun. Like it just created that community where, you know, you don't always get that outside, you know, when you're working out, you're just kind of cranking it up.
Yeah.
You know, like it's right. fun, but you're, you know, you're working hard. You're not really looking at any boards. But when the days at the weigh-ins and, you know, every Sunday they had, you know, we'd send a form out to them. It took them maybe 30 seconds to do, but they would fill out what they did and they'd send it back and we would have, you know, everything.
Okay.
Would get tallied.
So then like, okay, so let's take that for example. So then now, how is social media now fitting into the business? Are you doing more of that? Are you posting more? I mean,
That's
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, what are you using there?
Yeah, we don't use Twitter.
Okay.
We definitely use Facebook. We definitely use Instagram. What we kind of learned is in terms of for a business, especially for a service or for fitness business, you can't obviously sell all the time. So you want to tell people some good content and you want to have some funny stuff. And then you want to part of the time you're going to say, hey, you know, come join our challenge or, you know, come and visit us or we have this special. But a lot of it is just being relevant. And, you know, we want to basically, through our content, we basically want to show you what we can do or what kind of knowledge base that we have. And then obviously, you know, we have a personality and we want to be fun. So we have some funny pictures and stories. And, you know, we had a yoga class for the first time.
I saw that. So how'd that go?
It was good.
Is this the instructor, she your friend that, you know?
Yep. So she trains in the gym.
Okay.
And she owns the studio Harumi Yoga and she's right across the street. So she came in and, of course, my wife couldn't take Patrick that day, so I had Patrick. So here I am.
Well, I saw some of the pictures on there.
So I had Patrick in one hand, and behind me, everyone's doing a happy baby pose.
Right.
So it was actually pretty funny.
People liked it?
They loved it. Yeah, it was good because it was supposed to be a little bit more of a seminar than a class. So Harumi really kind of broke down, you know, what you're supposed to feel in this pose and, you know, why we're doing it and where you should feel it. And, you know, if you have this kind of issue, this is how you can tweak it where – sometimes when you get in a yoga class full of 20 people,
just do it,
you know,
and then
you're getting to warrior one, warrior two, you're kind of moving through poses and you don't really know where you're supposed to feel things and stuff like that. So
the people that took the class, did you have a mix of people that have done yoga, not done yoga, trying it for the first time?
Yeah, we did. We had one of my guys who had some back issues and he's a big man. He was struggling at first, but man, he said he felt so much better after.
Okay.
So it was really good to see.
So he's coming back for that then.
He is.
So now you're going to incorporate that into your facility?
Yep. I think we're going to do either the first or second Saturday of each month.
Okay.
We'll do it. And then if it picks up, we'll keep adding more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you open 7 days a week?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So I give some of the trainers are off on Sundays, but some of them definitely still come in.
Okay.
So.
So do you still have the access for people just want to come in and work on their own? Or is it just...
We don't actually anymore. We shut that one down just because of... it just got too busy on the floor.
Okay.
And people kind of run into each other. This way, when there's a trainer with them...
It's just more structured.
Yeah.
Kind of flow through it better.
Yep.
Okay. So Brett, so you're working 8 days a week?
I'm working a nine... No, let's see. I do a heavy 5 day a week and then Saturday, half day.
Half day, okay.
Yeah.
So now... What's your future plans at the village there? You know, you got your program set with your boxing, your training. Are you looking at, you know, trying to do something different? You have your speed and agility with the kids.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm just...
That's kind of your wheelhouse right now.
Yeah, I'm a happy camper in terms of doing a lot of different things, so...
But your shoulders...
Right now, except...
Being serious,
yep.
I mean, how much can your shoulders really take?
Exactly.
I mean, they've been sore for a long time.
It's not bad catching punches.
Just throwing them?
Yeah.
So you can't really defend yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good for you to know. No.
Angry Housewives. Yeah.
Don't tell them.
Right.
That's right.
So.
But no, it's looking, I mean, the way I'm going right now, I'm happy with it. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and breathe and figure out what's next. But I mean, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm doing, you know, I'm I'm doing sports conditioning. I'm doing boxing. I'm doing, you know, just general personal training, weight loss, rehabilitation. So just wearing a lot of different hats during the day. And that makes the day a lot more fun because it's not the same thing every hour. It's not the same type of training every hour.
Okay. So why don't you talk about the benefits of seniors and exercise? Because that was one of the things that we talked about that you wanted to discuss. So,
oh, okay.
So, the population is now aging.
Yep.
And it's,
including myself.
Yes. So you're like leading, you're in the forefront.
So it's like on the perfect
front of the,
for me.
You're like right on the front of the Titanic.
And my ship is sinking. So we're going.
Oh, he's here all day, folks.
So we got the benefit of senior. I mean, when I worked in Milwaukee, I did a senior program, and the first thing I got from some seniors were, I'm too old for exercise now, and that kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, no, of course you're not. I mean, you're walking out the door.
So where do you think that mindset comes from?
I think, well, up there, I think that's, I mean, exercise is, it just depends. And now that we're in a different age where we know all the benefits of exercise, and some of us are, of course, are still searching for the benefits of exercise. But I mean, up there, it was ingrained in. If you think back to the 70s and the 80s, by the way, I'm 52. I'm not that old. So in the 80s, up there, their thinking is, okay, we've done the exercise stuff. Now it's time to relax. But I'm training a senior I've trained seniors that have been on walkers. And for them, in their mind, it's not time to relax.
Right. They still want their independence.
And to stay out of a walker, and it's been proven time and time again, you need to do weight-bearing exercises. Seniors need to move. I mean, the most important muscle in the body, of course, is the heart. And so why not treat it? And I always tell people it's this. It's like a car. I mean, would you buy the same exact model with 70,000 miles on it or one with 130,000 miles on it? Same thing with a heart rate.
Yeah.
Would you have a heart rate that uses up oxygen and does a better job, more efficient heart rate with less miles on it? I mean, it's just, so it's common sense from that standpoint. And then obviously, as we know, you know, as we age, osteoarthritis and that stuff sets in. But it's been proven that it won't set in as quickly if you're doing ground-based, some resistance training exercises. And so when people think of exercise, sometimes they think they're doing stuff that's out of the realm of their capabilities.
Or they have a preconceived notion that they're going to,
they're going to hurt
something. They're going to look like, they end up looking like, you know, the guy in the front of the magazine or something. Or they just, it's got to be heavy weights. They don't understand that there's different aspects of exercise and modalities that can be used to help them, you know, when you find somebody that can really help them. And unfortunately, there's people out there that, you know, maybe they had a bad experience and now they don't want to come see a trainer or come to a facility where they can help because they did have a bad experience and got hurt before. So, you know, we got to be on the forefront of that. And
So you got to, basically, it's like anything. You just got to do stuff that's within the realm of your capabilities.
Yeah.
And then when you're comfortable with that, then you start pushing the buttons a little bit as they're comfortable with.
I think it's just intimidating for people to come in, especially just to open that door to walk into a facility is very intimidating for them.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I would talk about it with my clients, my older population. The first thing they do when they go down the stairs is they look for that railing. Whereas, you know, when you're a little bit younger, you just walk right down the middle of it. You don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
So the older population is fearful in terms of like, okay, what can I grab onto? Or, you know, if I fall in once, like there's that notion of, hey, I'm going to fall again. So.
And, you know, so it seems like, you know, there's a point of transition in people's age. You're in your 20s, you're working out, you come out of high school, you go to college. You get into your 30s, people get a job, they start to get busy, they're working on their career, they kind of fall off exercise and they're, you know, working big hours at work. And then, you know, things start to happen, they get out of shape, they put some weight on. Now we're starting to get into our 40s, maybe start making a better living. And now they're like, oh man, I got to do something. And so there's a transition point I feel that people kind of like miss, that if they would have a little bit of a maintenance, it would make it easier as they go through life.
For sure.
And, you know, so how do you get that message out there? And so, I don't know, it's just, you know, keep talking about it and encouraging people to come and, you know, try to get them young.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest thing is, you know, when you work with, like, you know, we find it with kids, I'm sure Brett does too. When you work with kids and you learn kind of the mechanics of things, it helps them when they run. It helps them when they, you know, just how they move in their general life.
Yeah.
Because it's funny to see kids that have never done anything and they come to work out the first time and you watch them and you're like amazed at how poor their running form is, or how they don't know their right and their left, yeah. or, you know, they don't move well yet. And that's just something that, you know, as kids, we just played all the time outside. Yeah. We ran a lot, you know, there wasn't a lot of cell phones and that kind of stuff. So, everything was athletic based.
Yes. And, you know, now to send kids outside is a punishment.
It is.
Instead of, yeah. you know, being stuck in the house, but,
especially in Wisconsin.
But, you know, I think, you know, and I talked about this before, but, you know, the decrease in, you know, physical education that the kids are having, to, you know, in school and or recess, I think it's been long enough now that we're seeing kids graduate from high school that really don't have any of those skills from just, getting out and playing, learning different sports, being exposed to things like that, and, you know, just stuck in the video game age. So then, that's just, you know, heart disease is going to start earlier and earlier. How do we motivate those people? So is it through gaming? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think it's hard to, you know, you have to be able to break into that kid. Like, you know, we have kids that come in and you can tell that's, you know, some have that stereotypical kind of millennial generation kind of feel to them where they don't, as soon as you leave them, they pull their phone out.
Yeah.
Or when you talk to them, sometimes they're looking at the TV. You know, yeah. there's the engagement is hard.
It's like an addiction.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to be said for, you know, and that's with the kids that I've worked with, for whatever reason, I've connected really well with them where I can draw certain things out of them to where they'll talk about, you know, their school and they'll talk about girls or, you know, whatever it is, where it's a little bit more of a real as opposed to, you know, the virtual world.
Yeah.
So I think it's part of it is just kind of making that connection with that person.
Yeah.
Because you have to show them that there's other things out there than what's on a screen.
Yeah. So Brett, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, well, the parents, that's the most important thing right now. And the good thing, at least fortunate thing with me being at the club that I'm at, these parents are, I've noticed, have really pushed their kids into fitness. There is not much, they're coming in and I can tell that they're setting them up with me. I don't know for sure if they all have physical education in their schools or not, but I know these kids are seeing me two or three times a week and I know their parents are driving that home. And the kids seem okay with it. I
mean, they're engaged
with it.
So they're having fun.
Life.
So. Okay.
You know, I try to make it good enough so they're not. Yeah. I don't run them into the ground.
Yeah. I'm sure you do make it fun. So.
Yeah.
So Luke, so let's talk about your cooking class.
Yes, I'm not a good cook, but, I was lucky enough to hire one of my trainers from Four Seasons, and he just wanted a change. And luckily, it was kind of a life change for him.
Okay.
So he came on and we've done, I think, three or four now. And basically what we do is he puts together a healthy menu and we end up going to one of the clients always usually, or they tend to offer up one of their, you know, their house.
Okay.
And we basically go over there. It's maybe 10 to 12 of us. It's a good community bonding event. It allows us to, people to kind of let their hair down. And, you know, obviously we make it fun. There is, you know, some wine or some cocktails there because it allows people to kind of get to know each other.
Okay.
But it is, you know, they learn how to cook and we have them jump right in. They're cutting, they're chopping, they're blanching, all these different things.
So everyone has to participate.
Yeah. It's actually pretty funny.
And so he kind of leads, kind of like a class setting.
It is.
Okay.
So it's nice because you see some of the guys are like deer in the headlight when they have to go and do something. It's kind of fun. They're just kind of hoping they would just kind of hang out and watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been one of the better things through the gym that we've decided to do because it brings everybody together. We have a waiting list for the classes.
Okay.
We don't even have to market. We don't advertise for it.
So now do you have to be a member of your gym or can
someone
call them and say, hey, listen, I heard about the cooking class.
Yep.
I want to jump in.
Yep. It's called Cooking with Flavor. We schedule them out either every quarter or maybe sometimes twice a quarter, depending upon the season.
Okay.
Obviously, when there's more people here, more snowbirds, we'll try to do it more often because we kind of max out.
Okay. So you how many take at a time again?
12.
12 at a time and lasts for?
It's about 3 hours long.
One-time deal, 3 hours long?
Yep. Usually on a Friday night from 6 to 9.
So is that every Friday? Or
you said
once a quarter?
Yeah, once or twice a quarter.
So with the demand, are you going to maybe up that a little bit? Or
yeah.
You know, especially coming up with the holiday season?
We would like to. It's just sometimes harder to find a place to do it. You know,
okay.
Because you don't want to impose on people's houses and stuff like that too often. So, but, you know, the clients have been great with it. They really love it. They support us.
That's great.
It's been really fun.
Yeah. So, right. Do you have any cooking skills?
I got two microwave ovens.
So you've lived in this new house for like, what, 10 years now? And I think you told me the other day you're still living on boxes and crates and stuff for your furniture or what?
Well, it's they're nice boxes.
Nice mahogany.
I know, right? So So, you know, you got your youth hitting the youth with your sports and the condition. Are you doing anything outside of the club or is it all inside the club?
No, I'm not. Okay. I used to, when I first moved here, I was doing stuff with Chaparral. I was doing stuff with their basketball team, strength and conditioning with their team. And then I did some work at Phoenix Community College as well. But yeah, right now, the last 5 years have been strictly with the club.
Okay. And then Luke, you're working at the local high school?
Yeah.
Are you still coaching the track team?
Yep. Cactus Shadows, this year, actually, I'm moving up to head coach or co-head coach.
Congratulations.
So, thank you very much. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. So what's our future look like there with the throwers?
And you know, I think this year will be
because you got boys and girls, right?
Yeah, you know, one of my girls, she won state as a sophomore. She was my first state champion. I had a lot of kids that have qualified in place, but she was my first state champion as a sophomore. And then she blew her MCL out last year playing soccer. So hopefully she'll be back this year. She got a scholarship, I think, to play at Colorado College for soccer.
Yeah,
that's her first love. But she's a phenomenal discus thrower.
Okay, so then with you coaching there, so now you're helping, you know, so you're getting college coaches calling you. You know, you've had personal experience with that. So helping these kids get to college, helping them go through the process.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah, it has been really good because actually one of my girls last year, she was a javelin thrower and she tried out for ASU. I think she just tried out this last week. So I have to, you know, touch with her and see.
Is your friend still the coach at ASU?
He went up to Oregon State.
Okay.
His wife wanted to move up to Oregon.
All right. So.
So he moved up there. But another ex-UCLA athlete is now at ASU.
Okay.
So like I kind of reconnected with him. He's a little bit older than I am.
Okay.
He's probably Brett's age. And, but yeah, it's been, you know, UCLA produced a lot of coaches, so it's nice to have some of those connections, you know, around the country that where if I have an athlete that's pretty solid, I can reach out and see if they
And you have that credibility that, you know, like, listen, this person can get it done and they're going to make the grades, which is obviously the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Once, you know, you have to vouch for the kid as a person first.
Yeah.
And then obviously athletically, you have to say, hey, you know, he's not quite ready to go to Division I, at least to a large Division I school, but, you know, he can catch on at NAU or something like that.
Yeah.
So
is that going to dedicate a lot more time away from your business now, coaching? I mean,
no, it's actually been okay. The spring season is going to be a little crazy, you know, with Patrick and with, you know, this, you know, the gym doing as well as it is right now. Like that's definitely going to put a cramp on it, but I think I have good people around me. So.
Yeah, that's good. So, all right. So we got to get to the most important part of our time here. The Lions are playing the Packers this Sunday.
Oh, this is good news.
Yes, it is.
So I see, you know, the Packers are a minus 1.5, but I don't know. I saw some chinks in the armor. You know, between, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy. I saw some reports this week about that. So what's going on there?
Yeah, I'd like to chime in on that. Those reports are by ESPN, and somebody brought that to my attention. I said, well, show me one quote by either that said there was a rift. And that's where we have crickets. There's just stipulations. There's nothing there.
So, the Packers really don't have a running game, do they?
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Aaron Jones.
Okay.
He's a very good running back who hasn't been with us except for the last 2 weeks.
I don't know. So, you know, the Lions, you know, I mean, they're we're on the rebound.
They're on some kind of rebound, yeah. You know, like they had a good year here and there, like maybe
We got a new coach and then we had a big win over the Patriots, but, you know, I mean.
Short-lived.
Yeah, short-lived. Okay. A little loss to, you know, they came back for San Francisco, close.
Yeah.
Oh, you lost that game?
Or did we end up with the Lions? Yeah, so I don't
maybe
know.
You lost that game. But, okay.
Yeah. All right. And then one more. Wisconsin, Michigan, October 13th.
Wisconsin by 3.
Oh, by 3. What do you got?
I got a Wisconsin by 11.
Okay. I'm taking Michigan. I'm just going for the win. I'm not
Michigan
going for the point
fans.
Spread. So, all right. So that's going to wrap it up for us. So I want to thank both of you for come down and
thank you.
Chatting up with us.
Thanks for having us.
It was a great talk. So I appreciate you guys. So where can you be reached?
You can reach us at pinnaclefitnessaz.com or 480-306-7187.
Okay. Brett?
You can reach me at funktraining, F-U-N-K, training at hotmail.com.
Oh, of course you got Hotmail.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Again, 52.
Okay. All right. So I'd just like to thank all our listeners for tuning in today to this episode. A Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit, hosted by me, Scott Marsh, sponsored by Mind and Body Strengthening. Through a revolutionary program using advanced science, we can help you break through the barriers of thinking fit, getting fit, and staying fit. You can go to our website, mindandbodystrengthening.com, for more information. Or if you want to contact us, you can contact us through that website also. And I'd just like to put out there that change doesn't come from just knowing what to do. It comes from consistent daily practice. So thank everybody and have a great day.